Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
My goodness, that was a fast break. I was trying to fix my printer and get some other things done there during the break. And it's like, whoa, the music's already firing up here. Let's see. Yeah, I don't know if David's going to be able to join us here today. I mean, man, he was so gracious to cover down for the entire week last week. But either way, hey, whether we have a sidekick or not, keep your phone calls coming, because we always enjoy taking your phone calls here. It's called Montana Talks for a reason, because this is the show where you get to talk and be heard all across Montana. 406-294-0970. Let's see. In the meantime, yeah, we were talking about the end of the federal government shutdown. House Republicans delivered last night after Senate Republicans and a tiny handful of Senate Democrats delivered in the United States Senate earlier in the week. We've got reactions from both Congressman Zinke and Congressman Downing on our Montana Talks website right now. 42 days for what? 43 days to be precise. And for what? What did the Democrats get out of this entire federal government shutdown? Here's the one and only Stephen Miller.
Are you, do you have any insight? Peter Ducey believes that the president's going to come out very, very strong tonight. Can you confirm that?
Well, I think that's a very safe bet, Sean. And I also think that tonight, President Trump's going to be very clear. The Democrats got nothing, Sean. They got nothing. Chuck Schumer went to the wall and lost. Hakeem Jeffries went to the wall and lost. Because at the end of the day, they could not convince Americans that we should shut down the government to fund their pet programs, to fund free benefits for illegal aliens, to fund health care for people who shouldn't even be in this country. What's terrifying, though, Sean, to keep hitting on this theme, is that the moderates have been driven out of the Democrat Party. Manchin is gone. Sinema is gone. And everyone in that party understands that if they don't toe the line with the leftists, they'll be driven out too. So we, as a country, we don't have a mainstream Democrat Party. We don't have a moderate Democrat Party. We have a party of crazies and lunatics and radical leftists and open borders nut jobs. That's bad for America. It's bad for the American people. It's bad for the world, Sean.
Oh, man, that reminds me. Yeah, of course, he was on with Sean Hannity, as you could hear Sean there. That reminds me, there is a hilarious soundbite that I've got ready to roll for you here from Jesse Waters. Because now, and this was what Hannity had focused on last night as well, so now the Democrats are fuming at Chuck Schumer. They're mad at Chuck Schumer, even though Chuck Schumer supported their shutdown every step of the way, even though Chuck Schumer voted to keep the government shutdown going, along with the majority of his other fellow Senate Democrats, along with the, you know, huge majority of the number of House Democrats as well, they're still mad. They blame him and what they believe is his weakness as the Democrat Party leader in the United States Senate. Poor Chuck, right? I think back on when I ran into Chuck at the airport with my cousin a year and a half or so ago. But anyway, they blame him for a handful of Democrats breaking from the party line and voting to reopen the federal government. Wait till you hear what Jesse Waters had to say right after this. It's hilarious, I'm telling you.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. For today, we'll see a blend of clouds and sunshine developing with mild high temperatures approaching the mid-60s for Bozeman and could even touch that 70 mark for Billings. Then for tonight, under increasing cloud cover, overnight lows in the mid-40s for Bozeman, lower 50s for Billings, with a chance for some rain for Bozeman Friday. And that's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Michael Caro.
This is House Call for Health, a setback for Canada in efforts to eradicate measles. A highly infectious disease had been considered eliminated in the country, but that's no longer the case. Health officials say there have been more than 5,000 cases of measles in Canada in the past 12 months, in part as vaccination rates in North and South America have fallen. Two babies died from the disease. Canada has now officially lost its status as having eliminated measles, which had been considered wiped out since 1998 in Canada. Measles usually begins with a high fever, also causing a rash on the face and neck. The World Health Organization says while most people who come down with the illness recover, it is one of the leading causes of death among young children. And there can be serious complications, including blindness and swelling of the brain, which are more common in young kids and adults over age 30. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health, I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August. Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast's like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen, and subscribe. Thank you.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, man, yeah, it's just hilarious. I was listening to part of Jesse Waters' segment last night on Fox News earlier this morning while I was prepping for this show, and I just started dying laughing. Yeah, have you ever noticed, you know, when you have Jesse Waters in the background, you know, like in the evening if you're, you know, cooking dinner or doing dishes or something, and you're like, what did I just hear? You know, you weren't listening too closely, but all of a sudden you hear some word like nipple Nazi, and you're like, what did I just hear? What is Jesse Waters saying about nipple Nazis? Well, that's a reference to the Democrat U.S. Senate candidate in, is it Maine or New Hampshire, somewhere in New England, and the guy had Nazi tattoos on his chest and some other crazy stuff. But big surprise there, right? Big surprise, yet these people call you fascists. And the guy literally had a Nazi tattoo on his chest. But the nipple Nazi clip isn't even the one that I'm telling you about that is so funny. I know I should have given the earmuffs, kids, earmuffs. I should have given the warning there might be kids in the car going to school. Now they're going to be saying nipple Nazi all day long now. So I know I ruined your day. I'm sorry, parents, for that one. Blame Jesse Waters. But this was the soundbite that just had me rolling laughing. So the left-wing mob is so mad at Chuck Schumer. I mean, you thought they were mad at John Fetterman? You know, the left-wing mob wants John Fetterman to die. The left-wing mob was telling John Fetterman, he writes about this in his new book, by the way. The left-wing mob, he was saying on CNN, and he shocked Dana Bash at how he made the point that, look, there's crazies on the left and on the right. He says, but the violent rhetoric, especially on the left, is way worse than on the right. And Dana Bash was shocked by that for some reason. But, yeah, Fetterman was talking about how they wish that, you know, the brain, what was it, an aneurysm that he had, that they wish it had been worse. They wish he would have died. I mean, this is the radical left that we see on display all across America right now, the same radical left that cheered the assassination of Charlie Kirk, of course. But anyway, the left-wing mob is so mad at Chuck Schumer, they're blaming him for a handful of Democrats that voted to reopen the government. And Jesse Waters played this soundbite, and he introduced it by saying, they've lost the lesbians. The Democrats have lost the lesbians. Well, didn't they start losing the lesbians when they started forcing men into women's locker rooms? But now this.
I'm done. I am your base. I have voted for Democrats for 40 years. I am a lesbian with a black, disabled, non-binary child, and I worked in an abortion clinic. I am your base, and I'm done.
A lesbian with a black, disabled trans baby, and she works in an abortion shop? If you've lost her, it is over. Democrats are reliving the Biden nightmare. Now the media is asking, do you have confidence in Chuck Schumer's leadership?
Do you have confidence in Schumer's leadership?
Yes, I do. I voted for him. He's a good leader. And the notion that Chuck Schumer should be able to control or corral Senate Democrats is sort of laughable. I don't need his permission to do what's right for Virginia.
Schumer has managed to do the impossible. He's lost clout in the Senate, and he's lost his base. Now the traitorous eight is in the crosshairs.
Oh, man, you could hear the crew, the TV production crew in the studio there with Jesse Waters absolutely lost it. They could not contain their laughter when he played. That lady sounds really nice, doesn't she? Doesn't she just sound like somebody you'd love to just hang out with, invite over, you know, for Thanksgiving dinner with the family? Golly, all the virtue signaling all rolled into one little soundbite right there. The way that woman described herself, I swear John Jackson has jokingly used that type of a description for a crazy liberal leftist, like as a joke, but now it just became real. Okay, what about the nipple Nazis? Here's Jesse Waters talking about how the far-left activists, including the Democrat Senate candidate in Maine, the guy with the Nazi tattoo on his, you know, nips. Here you go.
Now the traitorous eight is in the crosshairs. The so-called nipple Nazis calling for regime change.
The Democratic Party at the leadership level has really just become entirely feckless. It is the fact that it is just an element of leadership that is in control of the party at this moment in history that is failing to do any of those things. And we got to get rid of them. They have to go.
You know who agrees with the so-called nipple Nazi? The congresswoman from Queens, who was told by Nancy Pelosi years ago not to make mischief inside the tent. But Nancy's out of commish. So AOC put the word out to every Bolshevik in America, run, Forrest, run.
This problem is bigger than one person, and it actually is bigger than the minority leader in the Senate. We actually do have Senate elections this year, and my hope is that people across this country actually participate in their primary elections in selecting their leadership.
The commies want a wave, a hammer and sickle in every district.
By the way, now that the federal government shutdown is officially over, This happened while I was out last week, but the Yellowstone County Democrats, you remember when they posted this photo on X of their little food drive? I mean, these guys couldn't just pick up the phone and call on their fellow Democrats to end their shutdown of the federal government. But then they did this virtue signaling food drive, and they only got like 6 bags of food. I've got the photo on our Montana Talks website right now. Where I also talk about how the legislative Democrats here in Montana wanted to waste hundreds of thousands of dollars on a special session of the legislature to fund food stamps when all they had to do was call on their fellow Democrats to end their shutdown. It's their food stamp flop.
Donald Trump's America.
Administration officials argue the president's economic agenda is making life more affordable.
President Trump has already made great progress in cleaning up the economic disaster that was created by Joe Biden.
White House Press Secretary Caroline Levitt points to rising wages, falling mortgage costs, and pricing agreements with drug companies.
All of these pro-Trump policies are working, and they will continue to work.
But coming out of the government shutdown, a growing number of Americans are dissatisfied. A new Associated Press poll finds just 33% of American adults approve of President Trump's handling of the economy, and just 34% approve of the president's job on health care.
You can't trust the same people who broke the system to fix it, and so the American people will continue to hear from the president on this issue.
Republicans are eager to win over voters on affordability concerns. At the White House, Jared Halpern, Fox News.
Matt, I'll tell you what, I'm so glad we had a couple more minutes to go with Wednesday's Montana Talks. We had the Joker from X in the house with us. We played that clip of President Trump in the Oval Office spraying the Trump cologne for the Syrian president. And then we got to joking about, well, if Hunter Biden was there, he would have been trying to get the Syrian president to take a whiff of something else. And anyway, that was Wednesday. What are we going to talk about Thursday? Why don't you tell us? We'll have the phone lines open for you with Montana Talks.
The phone's blowing up, but you're in the driver's seat. Ignore the buzz, keep your eyes on the street. No text back, no scroll, just let it wait. Attention on the road, that's the only way. Phone's blowing up, but you're in the driver's seat. Ignore the buzz, keep your eyes on the street. No text back, no scroll, just let it wait.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
The rescued and...
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordlund.
Chinese purchases of U.S. soybeans have stalled just 2 weeks after Washington highlighted a trade truce with Beijing that was expected to boost exports. It's reported following a burst of buying in October, Chinese imports of American soybeans have slowed dramatically, with traders saying they're unaware of any new shipments. The pause is raising doubts about whether China, the world's top buyer of soybeans, will follow through on its reported plan to purchase 12 million tons of U.S. soybeans in 2025. Analysts, including a StoneX broker in Singapore, suggest the pledge may have been more of a diplomatic gesture than a firm trade commitment at this point.
Hi, I'm Morgan with EasyCar. You've told us you're done with hours at dealerships haggling and waiting around. Welcome to EasyCar, where you've always wanted to buy a car. On the EasyCar site, get your new car, truck, or SUV online in 30 minutes or less. Your personal sales manager guides you via video with transparent pricing. No stress. Justies. Start exploring our site here now. Set up your appointment right now online or give us a call.
The National Cattlemen's Beef Association announced continued support for the Direct Interstate Retail Exemption for Certain Transactions Act. Introduced by Republican U.S. Senators Roger Marshall, Tommy Tuberville, and Cindy Hyde-Smith, would increase marketing opportunities for smaller meat processors and give consumers more options to buy local beef.
Montana Talks, where you get the mic. Call in now at 406-294-0970. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
All right, so somebody yesterday, I think it was George, called in our statewide 9 o'clock hour of the show, and he asked a really good question. He said, how much is the government shutdown costing the United States of America? And I think the number $11 billion was a number that we had mentioned, that we had read. I forget the source on that one, but then maybe John Jackson was the one who shared that. But then, you know, I pointed out how, you know, New York and New Jersey, because of all the people fleeing those blue states, those two states have lost $670 billion. $670 billion because of these failed Democrat-run cities and states just in New York and New Jersey alone. So you put that in comparison with the $11 billion, apparently, that at least one estimate is saying the Schumer shutdown and the Democrat Party shutdown of the federal government is costing the United States of America. But George asked a really good question. What are the costs? And I think Will Kane actually got the answer. I don't know if he was interviewing Speaker of the House Mike Johnson or if Will Kane rolled up the numbers himself, but I'll get to that here in just a second. But hey, let's rewind the tape a little bit here. Back in the 6 o'clock hour of the show, I'm looking at our app messages here on the Montana Talks app. Back in the 6 o'clock hour of the show, long story short, we were talking about the 50th anniversary of the wreck of the SS Edmund Fitzgerald, and Nancy and Roundup called in, and then I mentioned how, you know, there was this Gordon Lightfoot song about the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald, so we played a little bit of that music, and then I mentioned, you know, how right now on the Montana Talks website, because Nancy's a big fan of Ozzy Osbourne, so I said, hey, you can listen to Donald Trump's voicemail to Sharon Osbourne following Ozzy Osbourne's death. That's on the Montana Talks website. But anyway, then during the break, I said, Nancy, what is your favorite Ozzy Osbourne song? And then we played it later on in the 6 o'clock hour of the show. Well, checking the messages on the Montana Talks app here, we've got Tim and Savage checking in. He says, I don't normally watch TV, but I'm in Helena for meetings. And I saw Jesse Waters' program last night. Great show. Another message that Tim and Savage sent us were a couple of his favorite Ozzy Osbourne songs. He's got Mama, I'm Coming Home and Crazy Train. And, of course, we all know Crazy Train. But think about it. Crazy Train, you know, when we were playing that soundbite from Jesse Waters' program, you know, with the lady who was, well, with the non-binary baby, who, you know, remember that lady? I'll tell you what, you want to talk about Ozzy Osbourne songs. Doesn't that, you know, one of Tim's favorite songs, doesn't it just fit perfectly with that soundbite that we had from Jesse Waters' program last night? Let me see if I can cue it up for you. All right, here we go. Democrats are all on the crazy train right now. How else would you describe it, right? We're on the Trump train. They're on the crazy train. That's an interesting line there. Maybe it's not too late. Maybe it's not too late. Actually, and the lyrics from that Ozzy Osbourne Crazy Train song actually go very well with Rob Schneider. You guys know the comedian Rob Schneider, former Saturday Night Live comedian. Rob Schneider was actually, see, this is why you never know what we're going to talk about on the show or when we're going to talk about it. We have dozens of audio clips ready to roll. We never use all of them. We never know what we're going to use. But this ties in perfectly with that Crazy Train song. So Rob Schneider was on Fox News yesterday. Rob Schneider was one of the keynote speakers at the Turning Point USA event at UC Berkeley. That's the one where, if you heard the news over the past few days, the left-wing mob, violent rioting protests, all because there were some speakers on a college campus. So a bunch of radical leftist Antifa types showed up and caused all of this violence. But anyway, Rob Schneider was on, and he was talking about kind of this crazy train, and he was talking about an interaction that he had with, a well-known Hollywood actor, Robert De Niro, during the, I think it was the 50th anniversary for Saturday Night Live. I think they were at here recently. And what he said about the left and the crazy train and love are all rolled into one. We'll get to that in 6 minutes.
A packed crowd at UC Berkeley's This is the Turning Point event to fight for freedom of speech.
Will America be a temporary experiment in freedom in human history, where freedom for the individual was enjoyed by only a relatively few people for a brief 249 years before society returned to another form of feudalism and slavery? I hope not. But it is not guaranteed. We, when they say eternal vigilance, that means we must be awake, we must be aware, and we must fight for it.
And Rob Schneider joins us now. Rob, why was that important for you to speak, and what was it like for you? What were your takeaways?
Well, hi, Ainsley. Well, first of all, I just assume the people outside starting all the violence were just upset because they couldn't get tickets to come in and see me. That's my go-to. That's why I always assume.
That was it.
Whenever there's a riot outside where I'm performing. No, I just, when I was informed that the people outside fighting, starting, with using tear gas and using something to make it sound like it was guns, and these people preventing people from talking and preventing people from getting in, these were the anti-fascists. Wow. Sounded like, and the people inside, the Christians inside, the Turning Point USA students from Berkeley, wanting to have peaceful discourse, peaceful debate, conversations, talking about how much they love God, family, and country. These people were called the fascists. And I would just say to our audience now, who are the real fascists there?
Exactly. You know, one thing that I didn't mention about the Veterans Day ceremony in Missoula back on Tuesday was there was this crackpot there, and he had a big black COVID face mask over his face. He had sunglasses on. He had a black bandana on over his head. totally trying to hide himself. He had some little cardboard sign. You could tell this was one of these Antifa-style leftists, one of these wacko leftists who was out there trying to besmirch a Veterans Day ceremony. And he was trying to make some point about veterans and Antifa. And it was just like, dude, what are you doing here? Like, everybody else, you've got, like, the Knights of Columbus in their nice uniforms here. You've got the American Legion folks, the VFW here in uniform. You've got other vets in uniform. Everybody else dressed nice to honor all veterans, all who've served. And I saw my Democrat friends there. I saw my Republican friends there. And then you got this Antifa crackpot with his stupid black COVID mask on and, you know, sunglasses, totally trying to cover his face. And I really wanted to go over there and just say something to that guy and be like, dude, what are you doing here? Come on, man. But I didn't. I restrained myself. I know. I was like, okay, it's Veterans Day. I'm just gonna drive on. And hey, you know what? We fought for freedom of speech for everybody. Even that crackpot right there. I should have just went over and said hi, just for the sake of it, though. But anyway, I didn't even waste my time taking a picture or anything. But Rob Schneider, what did he say about Robert De Niro in particular? I'll get to that one after the break, but I wanted to play the Turning Point deal first, though. Winter.
Tackling the issues that shape our state. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, if you got something you want to talk about, now is the time to call in. I will have some open phones time later on in the 9 o'clock hour of the show, but we got some big updates here. You guys know Mike Rowe, Dirty Jobs, Mike Rowe. He's actually going to be in Great Falls, Montana later today. I think he's actually going to join us right here on Montana Talks here later this morning. So that's going to be incredible. And he's doing an event with Governor Greg Gianforte. So the governor may join us as well. So stand by for news on that front. We got several great guests scheduled to join us in the 8 o'clock hour of the show as well. I say scheduled because sometimes people forget that they were scheduled. And then it's like, all right, we'll just keep taking phone calls then. That's the beauty of a show like this is like, if I have a guest scheduled, and they don't make their hit time, it's like, all right, no problem, because we got, you know, a whole bunch of other great guests that can join us right now by calling in on the phone lines. And I'm talking about you. You get to be the guest. 406-294-0970. All right, here we go. So I played a part of what Rob Schneider had to say on Fox News about the UC Berkeley Turning Point USA event. But he was talking, I think it was with Kaylee McEnany on Fox News, and they were talking about how violent the left is becoming right now in particular, and how this is being embraced by large swaths of the Democrat Party in particular, where they're, you know, cheering on the assassination of Charlie Kirk, violently protesting conservative speakers speaking on a college campus like UC Berkeley. Well, and then I think Kaylee brought up, I think it was the 50th anniversary of Saturday Night Live, and they had all the actors and some of their prominent guest hosts show up for the 50th anniversary of Saturday Night Live. And anyway, Rob Schneider, let me see. Yeah. And then Rob Schneider basically talks about how I think there was a moment where somebody accidentally pushed him into or bumped him into the actor Robert De Niro, who is really an unhinged leftist. I mean, just, you know, drops F-bombs left and right, complaining about Trump. You've seen this before.
Schneider, how could you support that schmuck? Trump is a schmuck. I looked right at him and I said,
I love you. I love you.
I swear to God, he looked right at me and went like,
okay.
That's the only way to handle this. We're never going to be able to out-cancel the cancel culture. They're better at it than us. It's got to be through love.
That is so beautiful. Instead of arguing with them, which is what they want, you just said, I love you.
Well, I do. I love them. And look, it's got to come through love. And it's true. And if, you know, the Bible says you don't get a reward for loving your brother. You get a reward for loving people who are your enemy or people who, and he's not my enemy. I love him and he's angry. And the thing, the way to really do this and to confront this is through love. And you got to understand that, you know, there are people who are, if you want to use the word triggered or whatever, but we have to meet them in some other way than just with the same kind of anger or whatever. And I do. And I'm saying I respect him as an actor and as a person. And I know that he's helped the autistic community, the kids' parents.
Yeah, so the first part of that was, of course, audio from his speech at the Turning Point USA event at UC Berkeley, where this violent mob was, you know, causing a ruckus right outside because they didn't want these peaceful conservative speakers to be allowed to speak on their campus. And then that actually ties in with something else here. So Democrat Senator John Fetterman, he was on CNN with Dana Bash. Apparently, Fetterman's got a book out right now. And he was talking about his book. And he had apparently surprised Dana Bash when he told her how, look, he's taken heat from all sides, right? And certainly, hey, we were all very critical of the way the fake news media covered his election to the United States Senate. I mean, he was in very rough shape. He was in no shape, no condition to become a United States Senator. But in the media covered for truly the crisis that he was facing and the crisis that he was in. And they just covered it up the whole time. And he gets elected to the United States Senate. But then in a shocking turn of events, as he has healed, as he's become healthier, boy, he's been voting with the Republicans and he's been calling out his own party. And as a result, he is getting so much hate from the left in particular. But I think the Daily Caller had the story where they pointed out how he shocked Dana Bash when he told her how much crueler the left is than those on the right. And this comes via X. Andrew Colvett, who is with Turning Point USA, shared this one.
You said, quote, "I've drunk deeply of the venom of both the left and the right. As a connoisseur, I can confirm that the most poisonous, the bitterest, is from the far left." That is pretty remarkable to hear you say that as an elected Democrat. Why?
You know, it's just been my personal experience on this thing. And when I asked my digital team, I said, you know, we're on all the platforms, you know, really what's kind of the harshest, what's kind of the most personal? And the answer was immediate. He said, oh, blue sky, it's blue sky. And the difference is, I mean, the right would say really rough things and names, you know, some names I won't repeat on TV, but on the left, it was like they want me to die, or that we're cheering for your next stroke, or that's terrible, that depression won. Why couldn't it depression won? And I hope your kids find you. They even have like the graphic.
Yeah, anyway, that's part of the interview with him and Dana Bash. And then Dana expresses her kind of shock at some of the things that have been said to him and about him from the left. But it's no shock to you, is it? Are any of you surprised? Are you surprised? You might be shocked, but not surprised, right? Because we see it right here in Montana. We see the same crazy train stuff right here in Montana. Even from seemingly nice people on the left who will walk up to you and say that they wish that the bullet didn't miss Trump. School teachers, college professor cheering on the assassination of Charlie Kirk. Death threats because you have different opinions than they have. And that's why that crazy train audio earlier was so spot on. Okay, Fetterman was also one of the few Democrats willing to call out his fellow Democrats for shutting down the federal government. Here's what White House Press Secretary Caroline Leavitt said about the government shutdown, and now that President Trump has signed the legislation to end it finally.
As you pointed out, the Democrats were holding our country hostage to try to negotiate on a health care system that they created. Obamacare, as it's famously called, is a system the Democrats created. It is a broken system. It has driven up health care costs dramatically in this country. And now they shut the government down to try to fix that system they broke. It doesn't make any sense to us, which is why the president said that's a completely untenable position. However, once the government reopens, the president, as he's always maintained, is absolutely open to having conversations about health care. And I think you'll see the president putting forth some really good policy proposals the Democrats should take very seriously to fix, again, the system that they broke. You can't trust the same people who broke the system to fix it. And so the American people will continue to hear from the president on this issue.
All right. So what was the cost of the government shutdown thus far? I mentioned Will Kane has some numbers for us. First, though, Evelyn Pyburn with the Big Sky Business Journal joins us every Monday on this show. She always has great insight. Before we get into how much the government shutdown cost, she raises a good question. Why should it cost? If the government is shut down, why is it not shut down? Why does more of our money end up getting spent here? She says, I don't know why the government shutdown should cost us more than what it should save. Just asking the question shows that while there is turmoil in how it functions, it goes to show that it is not shut down. At least the spending doesn't stop. So what is the point? If the government shuts down, no one should be getting checks, and that, most importantly, should include Congress people. Yeah, that's from Evelyn Pyburn with the Big Sky Business Journal. I totally agree with the no budget, no pay. No budget, no pay. And, yeah, if the government shut down, they shouldn't even get back pay. These lawmakers shouldn't even be getting back pay, if you ask me, if the government shuts down. All right, let's see. Quick break here on Montana Talks. We'll get Will Kane talking about some of the numbers. We'll roll those up. Plus, we've got Mike on the phone lines calling in from the Gallatin Valley as well. Mike, stand by. You'll be up right after the break. Plus, you can call in as well, 406-294-0970. And I'll check the messages on the Montana Talks app as well. But first, coffee. I need coffee. First coffee. All right. Stand by.
Fox Sports Update.
First time in 6 years, a Major League Baseball pitcher has won back-to-back Cy Young Awards. Good morning, I'm Jared Max. Tyrick Skubal of the Detroit Tigers was named American League Cy Young for the second straight season. Skubal received 26 of 30 first-place votes and became the first pitcher since Jacob DeGrom in 2018 and 2019 to win back-to-back years.
It's an individual award, obviously, but you know, I'm proud of our team. I'm proud of the way that we competed this year. Obviously, you know, went through some adversity late in the season, but you know, came back in the playoffs and competed, and obviously come up short. But and, you know, a lot of credit for this award goes to the guys that play behind me and the guys behind the dish, too, and just our organization.
Detroit Tigers pitcher Tyrick Skubal with MLB Network. Skubal, the first American League pitcher to win back-to-back Cy Young Awards since Pedro Martinez in 1999 and 2000 with the Red Sox. Best pitcher in the National League this year is voted by the Baseball Writers Association of America, the guy who was Rookie of the Year last season. Paul Skeens of the Pittsburgh Pirates won the NL Cy Young in a unanimous vote. He's only the fifth pitcher to win a Cy Young within his first two major league seasons. MVP awards tonight. NFL Week 11 arrives. Winners of seven straight games, the 8-2 Patriots host the 2-7 Jets. New England laying 12.5 points. College football, Mid-American Conference. Toledo beat Miami, Ohio 24-3 to improve to 6-4. Same record as Central Michigan, which beat Buffalo 38-19. Northern Illinois mauled UMass 45-3. UMass is 0-10. NBA, Nikola Jokic scored 55 points in the Nuggets' 130-116 win over the Clippers. The Thunder improved to 12-1. The reigning champs blasted the Lakers 121-92. The Pistons won their eighth game in a row, 124-113 over the Bulls. Detroit's record is 10-2, tops in the Eastern Conference. I'm Jared Max.
Get more on the Fox Sports app and foxsports.com.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman.
For today, we'll see a blend of clouds and sunshine developing with mild high temperatures approaching the mid-60s for Bozeman and could even touch that 70 mark for Billings. Then for tonight, under increasing cloud cover, overnight lows in the mid-40s for Bozeman, lower 50s for Billings, with a chance for some rain for Bozeman Friday. And that's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Michael Caro.
Legendary Montana General Dale Stovall recognized by President Trump during his Veteran Day remarks on Tuesday. Hey, you got to check this out. Retired U.S. Air Force Brigadier General Stovall now lives in Missoula. He was a Jolly Green rescue pilot back in Vietnam, eventually served as the deputy commander of JSOC. Full video of President Trump recognizing this Montana veteran on Veterans Day. Check it out, MontanaTalks.com.
Guys.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
I got a great message here on the Montana Talks app. This one comes in from Sandy in Missoula. Sandy says this, sorry I missed you at the veterans ceremony. She says that crackpot even misspelt Antifa. He wrote Anifa. That's hilarious. I didn't even bother reading his sign that closely. She says, I had my beautiful nine-month-old baby, so I stood in the back with a stroller. Thank you, Aaron, and all veterans for allowing my family to sleep in peace at night. No, Sandy, thank you, and thanks for being there. Thanks for all you've done. I'm assuming that's Sandy Vasica, who's just done an incredible job standing up for freedom in Missoula in the face of so much opposition there, of course. Let's take you now to the Gallatin Valley. We've got Mike, formerly of Circle, Montana, on the phone lines. Mike, what's on your mind?
Say, I think it's amazing that those eight moderate Democrats finally broke rank. And my question is, if they're trying to get rid of Schumer, why don't we go back like the 80s where the moderates ran the Senate instead of these radical lefts or even the rights that, you know, as a group, get back to what's best for the country, not best for the billionaires that are funding them. I mean, it's just ridiculous that they're saying that these moderates are disloyal to the party. No, be disloyal to America. Turn it around, vote in a moderate new leader of the Senate, and get America back to the center.
Well, and what's crazy, too, is those eight aren't even that moderate when you look at their actual voting records. They're still pretty far left folks. It's just they just finally said no to the government shutdown. They finally at least put the brakes on a little bit of the crazy train, right? Mike, great phone call. Great to hear from you. Thanks so much for calling in. I know we're getting short on time. Let me play the Will Cain audio from Fox News that I've been promising for you here. Here he is looking at the government shutdown's fallout by the numbers.
We believe the long national nightmare will be over tonight. It was completely and utterly foolish and pointless in the end, as we said all along. I just want to apologize to any Americans who are out there who still have flight cancellations or delays today. I want to apologize to the many American families who were made to go hungry over the last several weeks, our troops and other federal employees who are wondering where their next paycheck would come from. All of that's on the Democrats.
Optimistic. But it's not a sure thing. The speaker has to navigate a razor-thin Republican majority. If all Democrats vote no, Republicans can only lose two votes. And there are some wild cards. Thomas Massie, Victoria Sparks, Marjorie Taylor Greene, to name a few. Nearly all Democrats oppose the measure, but there are some moderates who could cross the aisle, like Jared Golden or Henry Cuellar. The bottom line, 217 is the magic number. And after a historic 43 days, we thought we'd highlight a few other numbers. After the longest government shutdown in history, we're looking at over 50,000 flight disruptions since Friday when mandated flight cuts began. 670,000 workers furloughed, all to the tune of almost $90 billion, according to the White House's total economic loss estimate. And for what? To stick it to President Trump.
The damage caused by the Democrats with this reckless government shutdown cannot be forgotten. They started this shutdown with a ridiculous demand to force taxpayer-funded health care benefits to illegal aliens who broke into our country. The Democrats are totally captured by their far left-wing base who only care about attacking President Trump, even if it means hurting innocent Americans in our country.
That's right. And that's why, as I mentioned earlier in the 6 o'clock hour, the Daily Caller has a report featuring pollster Matt Towery. Matt Towery, the pollster, says he fully believes that the Democrats did the government shutdown because they want to derail the Trump economy. No surprise that the folks that jumped on the crazy train want to derail things, is it?
Dad, how do airplanes fly? What's in this box? Is this tree good for climbing? How are babies made? What does this thing do?
Kids are curious about everything, including guns. Talking to them about gun safety in your home is a good first step, but you can do more. Always keep your guns locked, unloaded, and stored separately from ammunition. Safe gun storage saves lives. Learn how to make your home safer at nfamilyfire.org. That's nfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by N Family Fire, Brady, and the Ad Council.
Let's put out this campfire.
Dad, Smokey Bear said to.
Drown it with water, stir it with a shovel, and repeat until cool.
Wow, where can I learn all this?
It's all on SmokeyBear.com. Because only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.